Name of the Lord be praised. I thank God that He confirmed this lesson this morning to my heart in a testimony that was given. In the 38th chapter of Isaiah, chapter 38 of Isaiah. Hezekiah always tried to do what God wanted him to do. He was a good king. And it was in a time when he struggled with the Assyrians and all the ones about him. They always tried to build up the wall of Jerusalem, but always were not able to do so because they were attacked and not able to build the wall up. But God gave Hezekiah the strength and the will to do this. And in 10 days, he erected that wall again with the help of the Lord. And there's nothing we can do without the help of the Lord. Hezekiah always obeyed the voice of God. When Isaiah would come to him and say, "The Lord said this," Hezekiah obeyed. He always listened. We must obey the voice of the Lord. When He speaks to us, it isn't maybe, it isn't could be, it isn't I'll try. We must do the will of the Father. Hezekiah was told in this 38th chapter, and we'll begin with the first verse. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." How would you like to get a message like that? "Well, Pat, it's time." "I want you here." "Well, I don't know if I'd be able to say it just like that, because everybody wants to live. Everybody wants to live. Hezekiah wanted to live." "What would your answer be? Lord, give me a few more years. I want to see my grandchildren grow up. Lord, couldn't I do this later? I just got married." What would be your answer to God? The second verse. "Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth, and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." Hezekiah wept sore. He didn't want to die. He didn't want to go. But God was calling him. "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord thy that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Okay. I've seen your tears. I know what you've done. I'll give you those 15 years. I'll take the hardships away from you. I'll deliver the Assyrians into your hand. Wow. Isn't that beautiful? God was giving him more time. We don't always have that assurance, because when he says it's our time, we have an appointed time. But God spared Hezekiah's life. Our prayer lives are very, very important. Not just in the morning when you get up, not just in the nighttime when you go to bed, or not just at mealtime. The Word of God tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That doesn't mean you got to go around on your knees all day. No. But to have him here, to be thinking about the Lord, to be thinking about the things of God, to ask God for his recommendations when we need something. What do I do in this case, Lord? Lord, I got this decision to make. How do I make it? I want to do your will, Lord. Help me in this decision. I mentioned this once before, that God can answer us in four ways. Yes, no, wait, and my grace is sufficient for thee. One of these answers are going to come to you. It may not be the answer you're looking for, but it's the answer you're going to get. Excuse me. Many times when we pray and we want something from God, and we say, Lord, I'm in such need for this, I'm such need for that. God makes a way. Maybe not the way you want it, but there is a way. And prayer is the way. Tuesday night we spoke about the sequoia tree and how the sequoia tree is so huge. They grow up in California and up in that area. 30 feet around, so many feet high, you could drive a truck through it. But the roots of the sequoia tree do not grow very deep. They reach out, and they grow in a grove, and they hold on to one another. A Christian's roots should be deep, but not all are. But maybe there's a reason for that. When the sequoia trees reach out with their roots, they hold on to the weaker. They support them. They give them what they need, the nourishment. Each of us must nourish one another. It's wonderful if your roots are deep. You're planted in the things of God. But there are many different things that God tries to teach us. And how does he teach? Okay. There are preachers. There are teachers. And there are reachers. The reachers are the ones that extend themselves out, reaching to other Christians, reaching to those that are lost, reaching out to the sick and the needy ones. Yes, dear ones. We have to be reachers as well. Many people need to be taught, to be told the word of God, but more so they need to be reached. And how can they be reached? By me and you. By me and you. We have to be reachers as well. Sometimes we don't know what God's will is in our lives. But if you can extend yourself to someone, a phone call, a word of encouragement. If you haven't seen someone in church for a while, call them. Tell them you miss them. If someone is sick, to visit. Send a card. Let them know that you care. Let them know that you are a reacher. When we want something from God, we reach out for it, don't we? God, help me. I need you. I'm having problems. And we reach out, as Hezekiah did. And God granted his wish. He granted him 15 extra years. But he knew that Hezekiah was a righteous man. Maybe he was testing him. I don't know. He wanted to see what he was going to do. I did so much for you and now you're doing this to me? No. I can run this country. I know what I'm doing. No. He got on his knees and he faced the wall and he prayed and he cried. And God granted him 15 more years. I don't say if you get down on your knees and you pray and you cry, God's going to give you 15 more years. When it's time, he'll call you. But in his time, he'll reach you. He knows where you are. He can find you. You can't hide from them. Many people think they can. They try to do things their way. They try to go on in life and say, I got money. I got this. I got that. I don't need him. Everything's going my way. Those people there, they must be doing something wrong because God's not helping them. Yes, he is. But in his way. Maybe some of us need a little more pressure on us. Maybe some don't. Maybe some hear the voice of the Lord right away. Maybe some need a little bit of encouragement. When the time comes for us, God will open the door for you to whatever it is that he wants you to do. But I know in my heart there is definitely a job. Maybe not a preacher, maybe not a teacher, but definitely a reacher. You can meet someone in a store. A neighbor, a friend and just start to talk. And God will give you the words. And if not, then it isn't meant to be. I heard of a woman who was in the hospital. This poor woman was suffering terrible. And she was, Lord, whatever it is you have for me. And another woman came in from a different, how would you say, a different religion, a different faith, from a different country. And this woman wanted to pray with this lady. And they prayed together. And she said, Lord, if that's what you wanted me to do, maybe that's why I'm in this hospital right now, just to pray with this woman, to give her what she needs. Maybe that's all God wants us to do, is to pray for one another. You have a problem, God sees it. You have an illness, God knows about it. And in his time, it will be done. Paul suffered with an affliction in his body. He prayed. 3 times he prayed for this. God told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. We have to accept the will of God in whatever we have. It doesn't please us. It doesn't always please us. Some of us suffer from arthritis. Some of us suffer from diabetes. Different problems in our life. But God extends his hand of mercy to us. You will survive. You will go on with this illness or without it. He knows how to do things, and he'll do it according to his will. All we have to do is stay faithful. Be willing to go where he leads. And if he leads nowhere, you stay in the church and you pray for others and you reach out to others. But each of us has a job to do. Let's do it. And let's give God the glory. Because he's always there for you and me. He didn't have to send his son to die for us. Because we weren't worthy of anything. Can any of us say we are worthy of something? No. Well, I'm a vice president in a company. Well, I own a baseball team. Well, I do this and I do that. Hey, it don't belong to you. It belongs to God. Everything belongs to him. He only extends things to us, but everything is his. When you leave this world, you have nothing. The Brinks truck is not going to follow you to the cemetery. No. What you have on this earth is going to stay. How many people died in 9/11, which is coming up shortly? Do you think any of them wanted to die? Some of them maybe didn't even have an opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me. So how we live in this life, what we do in this life, prepares us for the next life. I want to be prepared. I want to be prepared. This life holds nothing for us. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. Let us be prepared for the next life. This life is very short. My mother's 100 years old. How much longer is she going to go on? I don't know. But our next life, that's going to be beautiful. No pain, no sorrow, no loss of memory, which I have once in a while. But thank God, forever, eternity, never ending. This is what God has for us. So dear ones, just put your trust in Him. Live your life the way He would expect us to live it. And don't worry about tomorrow. And don't worry about anything at all. Because He's there for you and me. He always has been. Always will be. He loves you. In the name of the Lord be praised. Amen.